This is the national anthem of Croatia. It was proudly played on the day that Franjo Tuđman was inaugurated as president. It was playing as President Tuđman kissed the red and white flag of Croatia. This was the spring of 1990. Within a year, Croatia was getting ready to vote for independence, to separate from Serbia and the other republics of the crumbling Yugoslav Federation. Croatia had a large population of Serbs, mostly in the Krajina region along the eastern border. If they were threatened, the Yugoslav National Army might intervene. In May of 1991, we phoned President Tuđman to ask if it was true that Croatia had built up a defense force of 22,000 soldiers.
Let's say that's a secret.
Oh, it's a secret,
okay. We have some police force and we established the National Guard because we have to defend our democracy. All Croatian people is ready to defend democracy and freedom.
As it turned out, Croatia lost the Krajina region to the Serbs, but then in a swift military campaign regained the territory this past summer. And some analysts have said if there is a winner in this Balkan conflict, it's Franjo Tuđman of Croatia. Dr. Tuđman was a university professor, a communist who had been thrown out of the party back in the 60s because he'd spoken out for Croatian language rights. After he was elected, while saying he would guarantee human rights and ethnic rights for the Serbs, President Tuđman fortified the image of Croatia for the Croats. Brian Hall writes about Franjo Tuđman in his book, The Impossible Country.
When he came on the scene in 89 and 90, he had the advantage in the elections of having been out of favor for quite some time, which, of course, made him more attractive. The people that he was going up against were either the reformed communists and then this sort of middle ground intellectual group. But they hadn't been sidelined as early and as thoroughly as Tuđman had been, and there was a feeling that his communist credentials were less obvious and more forgivable. So that, and then the second very important issue for Tuđman was that his party had a lot of emigre money, and that is probably far and away the single most important element to understand about the 1990 elections. He had very good organization in Australia, in particular, and also Canada. And the figure that you usually see is $4 million had come from the emigre communities into his campaign.
Let's go back to the beginning of the conflict in Croatia. Judging from what you saw in Zagreb when you visited there, if you are a Serb in Zagreb at that time, what do you see? What's happening in the country that makes you fearful as a Serb in Croatia?
When he became president and also during the election, he started to resurrect some symbols, which I found unbelievable that he would do something like that. There's the red and white checkerboard symbol, which is called the Šahovnica, which just means chessboard. And it was a medieval emblem for Croatia. It had also been used in World War II by the Ustasha. And what Croats would often say to me, even fairly cosmopolitan people in Zagreb, they would argue that, well, it was a medieval symbol, and that's, you know, why we're bringing it back. But of course, how could anyone expect the Serbs to look at it that way? The swastika also had deep roots that were not Nazi related, and to argue somehow that a group that uses the swastika is only borrowing ancient sun symbols is an absurd argument. And there was this kind of, what I thought at the time, obtuseness. Now, perhaps there was a Machiavellian, very cynical thing going on here. It may have been that there had been some thought that the only way to, quote-unquote, solve the Serbian problem in Croatia was to antagonize them to the point where there would be some hostilities and an eventual, quote-unquote, solution, which, of course, is what we've seen eventually in the Krajina.
Do you think, from talking with people then, Croatians, Croats there, that the average person wanted the Serbs to leave Croatia, to leave the Krajina?
No, I don't think so. I think there, too, it's very difficult to talk about an average person. I think it varied a huge amount between the urban population and the rural. Some of the rural areas of Croatia, like Lika and Kordun and the Krajina area, my impression was that there was still some pretty raw bad feelings between Croat villagers and Serb villagers in that area, even during the period when the enforced ideology was this brotherhood and unity. People wouldn't talk about it openly because you would get in trouble, but it didn't take too much scratching of the surface to get a lot of resentful talk going. But I think among the urban population, most people considered the Serb villagers and the Croat villagers as being more alike each other than either one were like their cosmopolitan co-nationals. And so they, quite a large percentage of them, had no desire to push out the Serbs. But then there was, though, among those people who would not have thought anything overtly violent or overtly hateful about the Serbs as a nation, did feel resentments about Yugoslavia, which they felt had been Serb-dominated, and very sincerely did think that Croatia should be independent.
You know, what you're describing, Mr. Hall, at this point is a gamble, it seems. Franjo Tuđman is sort of is antagonizing the Serbs. He surely must know that Serbia is going to come to their rescue, is going to start arming the Serbs in the Krajina region. He surely is asking for a war at this point.
Yes, and, you know, I'm not, this too is where I start to wonder if perhaps he did have, or he or his advisors or his emigre community, it's quite possible this was driven to a great extent by the emigres, that they, in fact, just as you said, had a gambling strategy, which was to provoke hostilities and eventually win. And if that's the case, then a fair amount of their strategy was probably based on the probability that Croatia would be able to present its case to the world much better than the Serbs could, and so that they could eventually get some Western support. And, of course, in the long run, that really has worked out. There has been some strong criticism of the Croatian government. In the general overview, it's really been the Serbs who have been looked on by the world community as the aggressors.
Brian Hall spoke with us from Ithaca, New York. His book is titled The Impossible Country. Tomorrow, the start of the war in Bosnia.